we shut down, pay respect to Triple Gem. We will do our usual puja chanting. Then after that, we will follow up with the Mahayana. Oh, sorry, Mahayana followed by the Theravada chanting. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, and virya. Then we will start. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guan Suyin Pusa. Namo Guan Suyin Pusa. Namo Guan Suyin Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, turn to page 4. We will continue with the Vandana. And we will start the official puja chanting. Those who don't have the chanting book, you can collect from the front here. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the puja offering. Padipa puja. Ganna sarpa dithena dithena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang tujayami tamonodang ganda sambara yuthena Dopenahang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang thang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena mena Punnena mattena cha Tumokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasawavam Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutamang Okay, turn to the last page, yeah? Page 18, Vishal, Chandi, Puja, Aspiration. Based on our understanding of the significance of all this Puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. Good. We still got half an hour for meditation. So just relax yourself. Make sure you have a comfortable posture. Relax body and mind. then we can start our meditation. Just off that light. Those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Just silence everything, relax body and mind, then maintain attentiveness on your object of meditation. If you already very stable in your sati, means you don't need to train, then you can stay at the heart area. Just relax, silence everything and stay at the heart area. Just allow that mind to feel and detect whatever vibration or whatever activity that arise, your mind, which is already in sati, will detect it. So you just silence everything and feel around the heart area. Then it will detect. Then when it detect any vibration, sometimes maybe your heartbeat or any very fine vibration around your heart area, you just stay there, silent everything. Don't try to know. And just relax into it and allow the thing to be. Sati will stabilize. And you will develop the ability to be more and more mindful. It will develop into the higher, more refined type of sati. That mind is without thought, without verbalization, without chattering, no movement inside. It is just aware. Whatever it is aware of, just allow it to be. You don't feed it with any more mental energy or any mental intention or thought. Everything that you come to be aware of will slow down. It will stabilize on its own. Then your mind will settle down and become very different. Then all of a sudden, there will be clarity. There will be stillness. There will be deep silence. Such a mind is the meditative mind. Such a mind can understand many, many things. So you make use of your training to develop the stability of mind. Then your meditation will be very different and you will awaken. You will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How the mundane mind, condition arising mind, how they arise dependent on condition. Then you will start to witness all of the Buddha's essential Dhamma within your own form and mind. The dependent origination, the dwelling, Paticca-samuppada, the Four Noble Truths, the five spiritual faculties, seven factors of enlightenment, and even the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots. Then you can cultivate citta nupassana, vedana nupassana, dhamma nupassana, even kaya nupassana within your body and mind. The four foundations are all there. So the form of sitting meditation or lying down meditation is to stabilize this mind. So that is in sati. Then when you can have the ability to stabilize, you just continue to silence. this ability to go deep into the silent mind is very important, so that you will understand how the mundane mind come to be, how the conditioned arising mind come to be, how the thought manifests, how the egoic center, the egoic mind, the sakkayadity, the personality, the ego, how it surface and how it manifests. So all this will give rise to deep understanding and insight. So you just develop the meditation accordingly. For those who are still new, if you still haven't stabilized your mind, you need to train, just continue to train. If the hindrances are still there, spiritual faculty are still not strong, then you need to develop more puja. Develop a good religious routine, daily religious routine, so that throughout the day, morning and night, and in between, you can at least train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya. You can do it through the puja, through the constant reflection, contemplation. Buddha nusati, Dhamma nusati, Sangha nusati and Marana nusati. Then even on all the other anusati, there are a total of 10. When your spiritual faculty stabilize, the hindrance will cease to be. But if the hindrance are still there while you meditate, while you train your mind, no problem. Just allow it to be. Do not resist. Do not become unhappy over whatever arises. If you need to decondition the heedless thinking, then you continue with the mind sweeping method. Combine with metta, loving kindness. Follow the blue book. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If you are new, you should go back and read the book. Then after you have deconditioned the heedless thinking, you can then stabilize this silent mind or peaceful mind through any skillful means, meditation object or method or technique or skillful means that you have developed to stabilize the mind. If you don't have any, you should use anapanasati. Anapanasati is the easiest and the most prominent. It is always with you, your breath. You only need to silence your mind, feel in front of the nostril. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware, means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. That is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, not concentration, not focusing, not doing all those noting, no, nothing, just aware, silent. Allow the mind to be. When it detects the breathing, mind and the breath will move as one. Every time you wander off, bring it back. Every time you wander off, bring it back. Sooner or later, this mind will stabilize. Then it will just develop the ability to be mindful. Then as this mindfulness develops, the mind that is peaceful, aware, without thought, is very beautiful. It will settle down and become very quiet, very peaceful. And you will start to experience various mind states. The most common one is pity. Pity is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture that arises when the mind is peaceful, when the mind is aware without thought. Then as you experience them, you continue to relax deep into it, allow it to be. Then allow the anapanasati, mindfulness of this in and out breath, to continue. Sooner or later, the breathing will become like long breath. The whole of the process will be like very clear to you. And that will be able to enable you to stabilize this calmness, this peacefulness. So as you stabilize through this anapanasati and relax into it, the mind will become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet, more and more refined, more and more tranquil. Then you will start to experience something that is beyond pity. You will experience sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state, a very refined type of pity. That spiritual bliss that you will experience is very soothing. The danger is most people get attached to it. But for your case, when you experience it, you just relax into it and allow it to be. Then after a while, all this pity and sukha, they will become very, very quiet, very still. Then as you relax into it, you become more and more silent. Then your breathing will slow down until finally, like little or no breathing, very subtle. Even your heartbeat also become like very subtle. Everything become very quiet, very subtle, because your vibration has become more refined. And when this happens, don't try to do any more. Don't even do sitting, touching, or noting, and all those instructions that were given to you previously by other teacher. You just silence everything and allow the mind to be quiet on its own. You want to anchor it to the breathing, you can just stay there. No matter how fine, how subtle the breathing is, you just stay there and maintain silence to be aware of the subtle breathing. Sooner or later, as your mindfulness develops and become more refined, even the subtle breathing you will be able to detect, it will come back to you. Then during that time, your mind become extraordinarily sensitive. It can be mindful of wherever you locate this mind. If you move it down to your heart, it is very clear. All of vibration, especially your heartbeat, you will detect it. Initially, it's like very gross because you haven't heard it before. Then as you establish yourself, stabilize yourself, this mindfulness and sati can be with it. As you go deeper into this silent state of mind, the sati will become more and more refined until finally there is no thought, no movement, nothing, stillness. That is the mind state of pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is the mind that you're supposed to train. Then later on, stabilize it in the form of meditation until it's most of the time with you, fully aware, silent, completely silent. Then later on, as you come out of the meditation, you should try to maintain this mind state that you have trained, this pasati, silent mind, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, and use it to live life, to cultivate daily mindfulness. You must be able to have this type of silence within your daily life. In the midst of the life, you are heedful, you are mindful. And then only the real meditation starts, the four foundations of mindfulness. You start off with mindfulness of the four postures. Then you integrate it into all the connecting movement, thereby developing sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Then continue to be mindful throughout the day, no need to know. When the mind is in sati, it will see a lot of things, it will understand a lot of things, all dhamma will unfold. It will be able to insight into many phenomena, and wisdom will arise on its own. The beginning of wisdom is the beginning of silence. If the mind is not silent, peaceful, aware, it can never develop the understanding. Truth arises, from the stillness, from the silence. But this silence is not a conditioned state. This silence is a free mind. The mind is naturally silent on its own through understanding, through wisdom, through mindfulness, without any delusion to hold, to grasp, and to cling. The mind is not in concentration or focusing or absorption. There is no one-pointedness. There is just a relaxed state of inner awareness, silent, completely silent and still. Okay, I will allow you to develop the meditation on your own, then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those even now, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember whatever mind state that you have trained or developed while you are here, it's just to stabilize the sati, mindfulness, so that you can be heedful throughout the day, so that you can bring forth this state of trained mind to develop the daily mindfulness. And the real meditation is life itself in the midst of life, when you are heedful, aware, when your mind is in a free state, where the hindrance, the mental hindrance, they are free to move. Otherwise, if it's in a state of concentration or jhanic, or jhana, then this mind state, they are all suppressed. The hindrance are all suppressed. The anusaya, the latent tendency, the delusion, the sakayaditi, they are all suppressed. And because of that, you cannot put it to test. You cannot find out whether you have rooted it out or not. And most of the time, when you are young, when you still have the ability to develop the concentration, the absorption, the jhanic mental states, it will appear like you are already established in your meditation. You have very peaceful mind, very calm mind, very strong energy. But these are all conditioned states, which are not the state of a free mind, of heedfulness. So because they are in a conditioned state, the hindrance are all suppressed. It cannot surface. That's why you cannot cultivate the real satipatthana for foundation of mindfulness to develop the wisdom. So this part you need to keep in mind. Yeah? Okay, now we'll continue with the chanting. Turn to page 6. We will invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then after that I will chant the Pali. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajasu sunantu sakamokkalang dhamma svanan kalo ayang bandata dhamma svanan kalo ayang bandata dhamma svanan kalo ayang bandata namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido
Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko jatang veditabu vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidang chattari purisa yukkani atha purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu.
Give your pay respect to Trupa Jam. Bedang pejemi. Damang pejemi. Sanghang pejemi. Okay. Tuesday, I think, because the battery was weak, so we only managed to record the first 30 minutes, which was chanting and part of the meditation. All of the Dhamma was not recorded, so don't worry, meant to be. So today, maybe what we will do is, there are three Krishnamurti quotes. I have added two more. So we will quickly run through the first Krishnamurti code, then the other two I will go into more detail so that you can develop the understanding. For those who just came in, you don't have the Krishnamurti code, you let me know. You can collect from me. There is one sheet of paper in front of you. Okay. We will get our sister to help us to read. Her voice is very good. Yeah. First Krishnamurti quote, you read it out. It is thought that creates the thinker.
It is thought that creates the thinker. Thought and the thinker are one, but it is thought that creates the thinker. And without thought, there's no thinker.
Good. Stop there. Yeah. So this part, I think, by now, you should be able to develop the understanding, because we have gone through it last Tuesday. The famous question which most people couldn't understand is there a thinker behind the thought? Whatever thought that living being arises, is there a thinker behind? Many religions believe, yes, there is a thinker, because they believe they are real, there's an entity. And certain religion, especially Christianity, they believe there is a soul, eternal soul, eternally unchanging soul that transmigrate from one life to another life. Even though they don't believe in rebirth, they believe in the only life after that, that soul will go to the kingdom of God. So you have to find out through meditation what is the truth. We cannot just believe what the books say, what people tell us, what the famous teacher tell us. So even though Krishnamurti, he tell us very clearly and very specifically that there is no thinker behind the thought. That's why the title he put, it is thought that creates the thinker. Without thought, there is no thinker. You have to investigate and realize this, not as a theory, not as an idea or a concept, but as a living reality through your meditation. When you completely relax, silent and aware, you will start to understand clearly, and you will start to understand how thought come to be, how thought arise, then how they cease, then how from the pure awareness you input the content of consciousness, then that space which is pure awareness become a thought. And this is how you create thought. But there is no person within there to create. It is a natural process, because thought is respond to memory, your attachment, your clinging, your holding, your grasping, your accumulated memories. That's why Krishnamurti, in the early days, when he came out to share, he always explained it this way. You listen, eh? This one I seldom explain and talk before. The beginning of thought is the beginning of registration. You heard of this before, no? The beginning of thought is the beginning of registration. Thought is respond to memory. Without this registration, accumulation through memory, you cannot create thought. Just like the baby fully born, newly born, they don't have thought because their memory is clean, blank. No idea, no concept, no words, no conditioning, nothing. That's why the baby is very naive, very innocent, very cute. And they see things as they are, without words. Pure awareness, pure perception. That was your true mind, original mind. But we forgot that we had that mind. Because as we are born into the world, we receive so much conditioning. Then we are learned. Sorry, we are told, we are conditioned to use thought. Then thought become like an inseparable part of us. And through that, we are so conditioned into believing that there is a person who live life, who think, who arise the thought, who do this, do that, become emotional. Then we cling on to the entity, the name that they have given you. Then you identify with the external physical form. Then you create your own gender, male, female. Then as you grow up from a baby, you become a child. Then you become a boy, a youth. Then you grow up into an adolescent. Then you start to evolve further. Then as your growth hormone ceases, you start to age and decay. You can no longer grow like before, after puberty and all those things. This is the way of physical form. They go the way of nature. that it deludedly grasps clinging and identifies through form. That delusion will create a lot of conflict and division, because thought divides through words, through idea, through views and opinion, through conditioning. Like the word race, they divide humanity into the various type of races. Then male and female, then they identify through your color. Then you have Chinese, Indian, Westerner, or even Malay, African, and all those things. Then as you identify through the physical, you start to create more and more division within your mind, your accumulated memory. Then you start to hold on to your various conditioning, which become your views and opinion. Then your belief system become your religious label. Then when you cling on to all these rigid views, opinion and belief system, you again divide. You again like very different. So if you are not able to see beyond the physical form, you cannot see mind. And you cannot see beyond the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind that create all these views, opinion and labeling and conditioning and belief system. You will never understand life. That's why you can never penetrate the phenomenal world. You can never see their universal characteristics of impermanence. Because they are conditioned arising causal phenomena, that's why they are impermanent, in a state of flux. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, accordance to nature's law, then suffering will arise. That's why the universal characteristics of impermanent will lead to suffering. And the universal characteristics of impermanent will lead to anatta, non-self or empty nature. Because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why the Buddha teach anatta, non-self, empty nature, not a permanent, unchanging entity. There is no soul within. Everything is dependent, originating, naturally following nature's law. That's why the universal characteristics are impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or anicchang, dukkha, anatta, is a universal characteristic, and you have to penetrate. If you cannot penetrate, you cannot understand. So Krishnamurti, he, through his own meditation, he understood all this, but then he has to use words, because he don't have Dhamma. He has to use modern language, especially English language. And he always talk about the thought. And the thought is only one word, one entity. That's why it's very difficult to understand. If you don't have the Buddha Dhamma, if you don't develop the understanding through a structured teaching like the Dhamma, Buddha Dhamma, it's very difficult to follow what he tried to tell you. Because he realized it. That's why he can tell you. But if you have not developed the meditative understanding to insight into all this, there is no way you can understand him. So thought to Krishnamurti is just your mental consciousness with its content. When the form and mind input through your views and opinion and conditioning, then it become a thought. And this thought being limited is egoic. Then thought, if you cannot understand, is very difficult to penetrate. That's why the Buddha subdivide thought into the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vinyanang. From there, it's easier to understand. Because every moment of consciousness, like seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. There are conditions that give rise to this consciousness. The three main conditions are: you must have a mind consciousness, then you must have contact with the sense bases, then you must have sense data. When these three come together upon contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb will light up. It's naturally condition arising, like seeing consciousness. At the moment of consciousness, when you become conscious of seeing, it's like the light bulb lights up. You're able to become conscious of what you see. Then when you are conscious of what you hear, it's the same. That's why upon contact, consciousness come to be. And the Buddha always say, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. There's no one to see. In the hearing, it's just the hearing consciousness. No one to hear. We are like the physics experiment. The light bulb lights up. You become conscious. That's it. There is nobody inside there. It's just consciousness itself. Yeah. But through delusion, living being grabs and clings. That's why they are deluded by their own sakayadity, self-delusion. Then they associate with what they see. They thought there's a person inside there who see. That's why they say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel and think. Therefore, I am. That's why the ego arise. The egoic mind arise. The personality arise. The entity, the living being, arise. That's why in the Surangama Sutta, the previous text we went through, originally it was just the five aggregate of form and mind, consciousness and its content. Then according to Surangama Sutta, just like what the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, where mind arises, everything comes to be. So the whole lot of phenomena will come about because of consciousness. That's why consciousness, according to Surangama Sutta, created the planet, the star, the world, and the physical metal, the form within this universe. That's why the planet, the star system, the continent, existence, all come about through consciousness. Then the knower become the living being, traveler in space and time. And that is self-delusion. There is nobody inside there, no one to know. But because of delusion, self-delusion, sakayadity, they thought there is a person inside there who think, who can know. That's why the knower become the living being, traveler in space of time. That is what samsara is all about, birth and death. So when you meditate, silence your mind, you will understand how creation come to be, how the form of mind, dependent on condition, arise and pass away. Every moment of consciousness is just condition arising, causal phenomena, no reality. There is no permanent, unchanging entity behind. There is no creator. There is no soul, nothing. It's just dependent originating. So all this, you will start to understand. Then because the Buddha, he subdivide the mind. He said, your mind can do four things. That's why he subdivide the mind into four more aggregate. Your mind can feel, can perceive, can think, can develop mental intention, mental states, mental emotion, can come out with views and opinion, even deceitfulness, cunningness, all the mental states of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, and even the peaceful mind, the joy, the happiness, all these are sankhara, mental states. That all your thinking, your mental activity, your scheming, your planning, your mental movement, your phobia, your fear, your dreams, your conscious and unconscious, your subconscious, these are all part of sankhara. They are all content of consciousness. And you will see them in your meditation when you are conscious or even when you are asleep, the subconscious and the unconscious, you can go into it through that, through mind, sati, mindfulness, awareness. So all these are possible. So the Buddha said, this mind, it can feel, it can perceive, that's why it can know. It can bring external form into the mind. That's why the four mental aggregate plus perception that brings the external form into the mind transform the mental aggregate into the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. Then the last one is the mind can become conscious because of the senses. We have the five physical sense and the mind, the six sense door. That's why you can arise six types of consciousness. You can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So when consciousness arises, if you deludedly grasp and cling, then you are caught. Just like the Buddha's analogy of the five aggregates. He said consciousness is like a magician, an illusionist who create illusion for you to see. That's why the whole world is a world of phenomena, not so real. Mind make a day, just consciousness. How real can it be? And moment to moment it pass away. It ceases to be. And they are condition arising. That's why you cannot see it. You cannot understand because they arise so fast. You are deluded by what people tell you, by your own conditioning. So this five aggregate of form and mind is what the thought is all about. And when you understand this, you understand that the two teaching is the same. Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching and Krishnamurti's teaching is the same. Except they use different words to explain. Now we'll go into it. It is thought that creates the thinker. So you have to investigate into this. Assume you don't understand. Okay? Then thought and the thinker are one. You have to find out whether what he tells you is the truth or not. If thought and the thinker is one, means next time when you silence your mind, when within that silence, when thought arises to natural response to memory, if you are aware, you will understand what that thing is. Then you will come to a very, very clear understanding that there is nobody inside there. There is no thinker. Thought is just respond to memory. And when memory respond and create thought, then thought create the thinker. That's why without thought, there is no thinker. So that thinker is an illusion. It's not real. This one you have to see in the meditation. Otherwise it's just theory. You think you know knowledge, but you cannot live it because you still believe you are real. That's why you will have fear of this body dying, getting old, getting sick. That's why living being cannot escape from this attachment to this physical, the form and the mind. They have a lot of fear, not understanding who they are, what they are. You cannot silence your mind to see clearly that these are condition arising form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to use and live life, experience life and do whatever you want with it while it arises. Then you will be deluded by it. You will grasp, cling and hold, believing that this is what you are. Yeah. That is what Sakkaya Ditthi is all about, self-delusion. So Krishnamurti teach the same. There is no thinker. There is no atta. There is no personality. There is no person inside there to think. It is thought that creates the thinker. And thought and the thinker are one. But it is thought that creates the thinker. And without thought, there is no thinker. If you establish this in your meditation, you will wake up and you will get a shock of your life. All the while, you have been deceived and deluded. There is no such thing. Then your understanding of life is totally different. You got no more fear like before. You got no more delusion. The form and mind will not be deluded by what it see anymore. It will not grasp, cling and give meaning anymore because it see clearly through the direct seeing, the penetrative seeing, the awakening.
then you will understand what form and mind is all about, what thought is all about, how the content of consciousness when in the process of conditioning, you will see them all very clearly. Then you understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. And why the Buddha say, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this one, the Buddha say, that you is not the true nature. That you is the form and mind. Understand now? And that one is not you. But that form and mind is subject to nature's law. Law of karma. That's why it's born of it, heir to it, conditioned. So if you don't have this clear understanding, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. Because it appears very contradictory. Because he speaks from both understanding. Ultimate truth, the unconditioned, and the conditioned world, which is conventional truth. That's why you read his teaching appear very contradictory. But no, it's not contradictory. Where he approached it from both sides, he has understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned world. And the two are different, completely different. So this is the reason why Krishnamurti's teaching and Sakyamuni's Dhamma, they are so difficult to understand, so difficult to penetrate, especially for living beings who are deluded, who are not able to silence their mind to understand this clearly. That's why you have to investigate into everything. Do not become gullible. Do not just accept and believe what people tell you. Okay, read on.
So one has to be aware of the process of conditioning, which is thought, and when there is awareness of that process without choice, when there is no sense of resistance, when there is neither condemnation nor justification of what is observed, then we see that the mind is in the center of conflict.
Sadhu, very good. The mind is the center of conflict. You have to see this very clearly. And how do you see? This is meditation. This is sati. This is mindfulness. That's why Krishnamurti said, so one has to be aware. Aware of what? Not think, not note, no. Aware means through your silence, aware how your form and mind manifests, how it becomes what it is. So you have to be aware of the process of conditioning. See, this process of conditioning. And he say, that process of conditioning, which is thought, because you use thought, thought-based, that's why it creates conditioning. It creates delusion. Sakyadity, self-delusion. And this conditioning comes about because you use thought, because there is self-delusion. So this is where you start. The whole of meditation, so one has to be aware of the process of conditioning, which is thought. Because thought, through self-delusion, sakyadity, tell you a lot of things which is totally against the truth, the reality. That's why it's called wrong perception, delusion. So one has to be aware of the process of conditioning, which is thought. And when there is awareness of that process, see, the awareness of that process, you must do it this way, Krishnamurti said, without choice. Means what? The thought must not be active. It is thought that make choice, understand or not? Pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike. From your wrong view, your conditioning. That's why you make choice. To do it or not to do it. Should I go or should I don't go? Am I doing it correct or not? So all these are the decisions that you make. That's why when you develop sati, mindfulness, when you cultivate mindfulness, the silent mind, don't try to know. That's why here is very clear. He said, when there is an awareness of that process of conditioning without choice, means you don't labor, you don't make choice, you don't create duality. When there is no sense of resistance, resistance means what? Yeah? What is resistance? When you resist something means what? You don't flow an accord in it. Clear not? Means what? You want things? Your way. That's why you resist. Resistance come from what? Difference of opinion. No, you're wrong. That's why I don't want to believe you. Or I don't want to follow what you say. Then I want to comment, I want to judge, I want to react, I want to do all those things. This is resistance. Whereas you accord and flow with the silent mind, then you will understand. That's why just like the art of listening. When you listen attentively, without comment, without reaction, without your mental conditioning, views and opinion coming in to interfere, that is direct listening. The art of listening. You just listen. No right, no wrong, just listen. Then you attentively listen, you will understand. Then the understanding, because you have wisdom, it will know whether it's appropriate or not. That's why that listening will never prejudge or react inside that. It will listen attentively. Then whatever that is appropriate, it will know. Not appropriate also, it will know. Then it will not resist or do anything. It will just accept them for what they are. Because people are just the way they are. At that level of understanding, they will say like that. They will share like that. They will teach like that. And you can accept them for what they are. So this process of conditioning, you must develop the awareness of it. How you become like that? How your mind stir, react? How you arise the fear, the insecurity, the unhappiness? How you very talkative? How your mind continuously chattle? How it becomes so heedless? How the hindrance come to be? The unarisen hindrance, how they come to be? Then how this is to be. All this you're supposed to see them through the silent awareness, choiceless awareness, without resistance. This is what Satipatthana is all about, for foundation of mindfulness. But it's not taught in this way anymore, because people cannot understand the teaching. So this part is very important. When there is an awareness of that process without choice, when there is no sense of resistance, when there is neither condemnation nor justification of what is observed. What is observed is the reality. When we see that the mind is the center of conflict, this is the most powerful seeing, the awakening. When you suddenly realize that all of the problems that arise, they are from the thought. That's why this one, the mind is the center of all conflict. And this understanding is the most important. When you understand this, you will know how to deal with mind. Because the condition arising mind that is deluded is the center of conflict. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything come to be. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, their teaching are very profound. They say everything that you come to know is an obstruction. 所知障. That's why knowledge bind. When you say you know, you are the most dangerous person in this world. Because there is nothing to know. All of knowing come from thought. And thought is knowledge. Thought is not wisdom. Wisdom is the direct seeing beyond thought, without thought. It's an awakening. That's why there is nothing to know. It's just an understanding. And understanding is not rigid. That's why for those who have penetrated, it's very different. Okay? Yeah, we will read on. So you have to be aware of that process of conditioning without choice and all those things. Without any sense of resistance. Without any justification, condemn. You just see things as they are, without reaction. Then you will understand that mind is the center of conflict. You will see it very clearly. Then in understanding, oh sorry, you read on, sister.
In understanding the mind and the ways of the mind, the conscious as well as the unconscious, through dreams, through every word, through every process of thought and action, the mind becomes extraordinarily quiet, and that tranquility of the mind is the beginning of wisdom.
Sadhu, thank you. So this part is another very beautiful sentence. You must develop the understanding. That's why you have to reflect on it, contemplate on it, to develop the understanding. So after you understand that mind is the center of all conflict, then Krishnamurti said, he said, in understanding the mind and the way of the mind means how mind condition you into negativity, how mind through its own delusion, sakayadity, self-delusion, condition you into all those mind states. That's how you function as a living being. That's how you operate as a human being. Then you start to see that form and mind, the true entity. Then you will come to a clear understanding that this is all condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Then when you read through Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the way the Buddha explained, it's very clear why this form and mind is not you, why this human being is not you. Then after that, you have to develop this second part. He said, in understanding the mind and the way of the mind, means after you have observed through mindfulness the process of conditioning, and you have come to understood that the mind is the center of all conflict. So in understanding the mind and the way of the mind that creates this conflict, you have to see it both in the conscious as well as the unconscious. Means through dream state, through every words, through every process of thought and action. This is daily mindfulness. The mind becomes extraordinarily quiet. This is the real meditation. When you develop understanding, which is wisdom, you straighten your view. Then the mind is not like before. No longer deluded, no longer heedless, no longer kepo. It doesn't do all these things anymore. Where it sees clearly the futility of it, the stupidity of it, the delusion that conditions you into all this. Things are just the way they are. Why can't you come to terms with that reality? Why can't you be at peace with those reality, with what is? So all this understanding, as it arises, you straighten your view, then you will not do all these things anymore. And when you don't do all these things anymore, where there is no more delusion, no more wrong view, no more security, the mind becomes extraordinarily quiet, naturally, not through a concentrated state. The Sai Krishnamurti here, he explained it very clearly. The mind becomes extraordinarily quiet, and that tranquility of the mind is the beginning of wisdom. That's why without that silence, which is a free mind, not a conditioned state, there is no understanding. That's why that tranquil state, the silent mind, the still mind, is the beginning of wisdom. Then you read on.
Wisdom cannot be born, it cannot be learned. It comes into being only when the mind is quiet, utterly still, not made still by compulsion, coercion, or discipline.
Very good. So this is another very powerful and very important understanding. You see, wisdom is an understanding. That's why he said it cannot be bought. You cannot pay money and ask people to sell it to you. No way. It cannot be bought. And it cannot be learned, like I always tell you. You cannot learn to be wise. I cannot teach you to have wisdom. You have to meditate on your own. Cultivate on your own, walk the path yourself and awaken to it yourself. Because it's an awakening, it's an understanding. When you penetrate, when you insight into the three characteristics of nature without thought, the direct seeing, then you understand. And the understanding, you cannot learn one. Yeah, it comes through an awakening. That's why nobody can teach you. The Buddha can only show you the way. Like the famous Buddhist hymn. Huh? Buddha merely showed the way. Then he said, we ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. So this is very clear. The Dhamma was there before him. Then he proclaimed. He re-proclaimed the Dhamma. Then when he teach it to you and share it to you, you have to cultivate it, put it into practice. That's why Buddha Dhamma got three phases. First, pariyatti, learning of the teaching, the doctrine, understanding it. Then phase two is patipatti, putting it to practice, cultivation, so that you can perfect it, awaken to it. Then only the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, you get to reap the fruit of your hard work. You get to live as an enlightened being, the life of an Arya. So these are the three phases. And phase three is the most beautiful, like what we have gone through earlier on. You check the Heart Sutta note, the short note, appendix at the back. There is this chart at the back. This one is color. That one is not color. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the three phases of Dhamma, they are all there, clearly explained. So you have to go through it on your own. So wisdom cannot be bought. It cannot be learned. It comes into being only when the mind is quiet, utterly still. That's why it's called the silent mind. Only the silent mind can awaken, can insight, can see things as they are, without the movement of thought, without conditioning, without stirring, without interference from the brain and the memory. That's why the direct seeing, the real sati, is very different. It's not a conditioned state. So Krishnamurti also explained it very clearly. He said, the mind must be utterly still, but not make still by compulsion, coercion, or discipline. Means you don't force it. You don't force it into silence. Like those people who do one-pointedness. They apply the jhanic factor. Vitaka, vichara, apply thought. Then sustain the thought. Then fix it. Then when that thought cannot move, it becomes peaceful, calm. That's why piti arises. Then they continue to force it, then they experience blissfulness. Then they hold it, one-pointedness, that's why the energy feels very strong, then it moves up through the skull, the forehead, and they develop all the jhana and all those things. And these are energy field. And this is not a free mind. That's why the stillness, the silence is not force, means not bring about through compulsion, not make still by compulsion or coercion or discipline. Discipline means what? Discipline attention means you always repeat, repetitive note. Like the 40 meditation object, focus, concentrate, build up the energy. Then develop one-pointedness or absorption until the mind becomes very, very calm, very absorbed into it. And the energy field build up. So all this is not the true meditative mind. These are all energy field. That's why if you do that, Krishnamurti said, you cannot develop wisdom. Where these are conditioned state, the mental hindrance, they are all suppressed, not rooted out. It's not a free mind. You cannot use that mind to live life. You have to be heedful, mindful, silent and still in the midst of life. Not in a conditioned state of energy field. So this is a very important understanding. Okay, read on.
Only when the mind is spontaneously silent is it possible to understand that which is beyond time.
Sadhu. Very, very beautiful. You see, the word is spontaneous. Only when the mind is spontaneously silent. This word spontaneous is very important. Spontaneous means anytime. Not make silent. Not try to be silent. Means spontaneously, without thought. Just like that, aware. Because when the mind is already trained, heedful, when it understands the way of thought, the process of conditioning, or is it no longer deluded, it has straightened its view. This mind no longer behaves like before. That's why I say it will transform you from a heedless way of living life into a heedful way of living life. You are naturally aware and silent on its own, without energy field, without any concentration. It is naturally aware, silent. And it can be silent because it understands there is no more delusion. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. There is heedfulness, sati, mindfulness, ever mindful of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path or the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So this part, the first quote, is very important. So last week, we went through it, but not recorded. So hopefully this time, recorded. Now I see the light. That day when Hri Rong came out at the end of the class, he saw no light. He knows something wrong. Then really, maybe meant to be, so that we can repeat it. Okay, the next quote. We get our sister to help us to read.
Can the experiencer, the self, totally cease? A mind that would understand that which is true, that which is real, that which is good, or that which is beyond the measure of the mind, give it whatever name you like, must be empty, but not be aware that it is empty.
Sadhu. Okay, stop here. We will go through it slowly. A mind that would understand that which is true. This type of mind, you must listen attentively. That which is real, that which is good, or that which is beyond the measure of mind, means beyond the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. Give it whatever name you like. Must be. The criteria is what? Empty means what? No view, no opinion, no word, no concept, nothing inside there, understand? That's why I don't try to remember, understand? That's why some of the meditator say, after I understand, I cannot remember. Why you want to remember? Remembering is holding on to things, understand? It's clinging on to the memory, and that is knowledge, that is not wisdom. Wisdom is when it arises, when you insight into it, it's never lost. It's always with you. Because that nature, through direct seeing, awakened to it. And it's always there. That's why you cannot fall back. Understand? That's why the area, when you enter the stream, you cannot fall back. That's why it has to be empty. Empty means what? It can enter cessation. It does not hold on to anything. There is no egoic mind. If it's not empty, there is something. And what is that something? That's why Diamond Sutta says, the mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. When it's not empty, means the mind arises, dwells somewhere. Understand? So this part is very important. Must be empty. But not be aware that it is empty. Why? Because who is aware? The thought. That's why that day, I think, Susan, where is she? Meditating, okay. She was reporting at Wu Ping Ching Sir, which was good. That's why luckily she asked that question, shared that part. Then I explained to her. She meditated, then she reached a state of silence and awareness. Then he said he realized that he is aware that there is another mind. So I say, no. That is not awareness. That is the thought telling you. The thought, after he went through that silence, the meditation, she realized there is another true mind, which is not the conditioned arising mind, not the thinking mind. But he thought there is awareness. That is not the awareness. That is the thought telling her that there is another mind. Because the form and mind that awaken or come out of that state will understand that there is another mind. But there is the thought. That's why here, Krishnamurti make it very clear. But not be aware that it is empty. Because that one is still not empty. That one is the thought coming in through the back door. That's why meditation is very, very subtle. You think you know. The moment you think you know, you are gone. That's why we read on. The next one will make you understand. You read on.
I hope you see the difference between the two. If I'm aware that I am virtuous, I'm no longer virtuous.
Now you understand. Read the next one.
If I'm aware that I am humble, humility has ceased.
Surely that is obvious. Read on.
Surely that is obvious.
Okay, we stop there. So now you understand. If you are aware that you are virtuous, means what? Who is aware? The thought say, I am virtuous. Understand or not? How did the thought get that understanding or that idea? Well, it believes that he is virtuous, isn't it? Means virtuous according to? According to who? According to you, understand or not? According to your knowledge, your views and opinion. What your mind tell you. Understand? And you cease to be virtuous. Because the true virtue is nature's law. The absence of negativity or evil is good. That's why you don't try to be good. Understand? Trying to be good, you are no longer good. Understand? Because you try according to your own views and opinion. But if you can be free from negativity, that's why the absence of evil is good. Understand? If you are incapable of evil, you are good. Understand? That's why Sakyamuni teach three advice. What are the three? Sabba papasa akaranang. Kusalesa upasambadan. Sachitta pariyotta panang. Etang buddhana sasana. The Buddha also teach the same, just like what Krishnamurti said. He said, don't try to be good. Krishnamurti said, the absence of evil is good. If you are incapable of evil, you are naturally good. So you don't try to be good. Which is what the Buddha teach. You have to train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, so that you are incapable of evil. So that the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are not there. Whereas the Buddha used the Dhammapada verse 183 to explain. Sabba papasa akaranang means what? Sabba is what? Or papasa is evil. You must avoid all evil. You can avoid evil, you are naturally good. Understand? Or? And to do that, you have to be ever mindful. That's why you must be heedful in the midst of life. Not only in the meditation, not only in the retreat. That's why the teaching is very clear. So now you understand. So all these are very important understanding. Then the other thing is, if I'm aware that I'm humble, humility has ceased. It's the same, because the thought that is aware is egoic, conditioned. It can never be humble. It's always according to that thought, that conditioning, that form and mind. Because it's not according to nature's law. According to nature's law is understanding, wisdom. When you understand the laws that governs life and existence, that's why you must have right view. When you straighten your view, you understand. Then you are incapable of evil. Because you know it's not worthwhile to break the precept. Not worthwhile to arise the evil root, because they are the root of all evil. They will make you evil. That's why you have to root them out. You have to avoid all evil. then whatever wholesomeness you have to arise, develop more and more, more and more, until you are incapable of evil. That's why you must have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And you can only do that when you are mindful, heedful. That's why the whole of the teaching is centered on heedfulness. Before the Buddha passed away, he again reminded the monks, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sambadeta. So all the whole teaching everywhere point towards heedfulness. You have to be ever mindful. Then he said, surely that is obvious. You read on.
In the same way, if the mind is aware that it is empty, it is no longer empty because there is always the observer who is experiencing emptiness.
Very good. So this one is very straightforward now. If the mind is aware that it is empty, it is no longer empty because there is this egoic mind inside there that is aware. Understand now? Or the observer or the meditator that is inside there that is doing the meditation. That's why wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Wherever there is effort, exercise of a will, there is no meditation. Your meditation is accord and flow. No resistance, no will, no desire, no craving, no mind. Okay, read on.
So is it possible for the mind to be free of the observer, of the sensor? After all, the observer, the sensor, the watcher, the thinker, is the self, the me, that is always wanting more and more experience.
Very good. So this one now easy to understand, huh? Anyway, I will read through to you so that you can have clear understanding. So Krishnamurti asks you a question. Is it possible for the mind to be free of the observer? Can you see without the observer? Can it? Like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, only the consciousness. There is no ego inside that I see. No such thing. That's why the actual seeing is without the word. Understand? The pure perception. And that is just aware. There is no labeling, no holding, no grasping, no clinging, no memory. It's just aware. Then the whole thing become clear. That's why you see things as they are, without the word, without the concept, without the conditioning, without the idea, without anything from your memory. Just the pure perception, the pure awareness, like the baby. But with all the conditioning there, with all the memory there, that is the only difference, the enlightened one and the baby. The two say seeing is the same. But one see with all the memory and the conditioning. The other one is they can see because there is no memory. There is no conditioning. Understand? So that's why to awaken, you have to see like a baby despite all this memory and conditioning. And that is the real understanding. And it can be done. It's not difficult. Then after that, Krishnamurti said, after all, he said, the observer, the sensor, the watcher, the thinker, including the meditator, you can add in the word the meditator, is the self, is the I and the me, the egoic self, the self-center, sakrality, that is always wanting more and more experience. That meditator want to be awakened, want to be enlightened, want to have wisdom. That's why that one is full of craving. That center is the egoic mind. That is the I and the me constantly arising. That's why thought-based meditation is doomed. You cannot penetrate. There must be just an awareness without the center. That's why it's silent, without chattering, without any choice, without any resistance, condemning and all those things. No movement inside there. Just aware, silent. Then that silence can develop wisdom, understanding. It can insight. It can know why all this become like that. It can understand what the form and mind is all about. How come it's being conditioned into delusion and become like that. So all this is what the teaching is all about. So it's no different from the Buddha's teaching. It is still based on the self-delusion, the atta, the I and the me. Then read on.
I have had all the experiences that this world can give me, with its pleasure and pain, its ambition, greed, envy, and I'm dissatisfied, frustrated, shallow.
Continue.
So I want further experience on another level, which I call the spiritual world, but the experiencer continues, the watcher remains.
So this one you understand, huh? The experiencer continue, the watcher remain, the meditator remain. Understand? Huh? So how can you liberate your mind? How can you go beyond thought, beyond mind? How can you understand anatta? How can you penetrate emptiness? Understand? Huh? Because that watcher, that meditator who always note this, note that, or observe this, observe that, is still actively inside there. Understand? Huh? That one must cease. Understand? Huh? For the true mind to arise, for the true nature to arise, for true understanding to arise. Okay, read on.
The watcher, the thinker, the experiencer may cultivate virtue.
Continue.
He may discipline himself and try to lead what he considers to be a moral life, but he remains.
See, the word is he remain. And so, the meditator. Okay, continue.
And can that experiencer, that self, totally cease?
See, you talk about experiencing non-self. Understanding anatta. So Krishnamurti asked you this very simple question. And can the experiencer, that self, the I and the me, totally cease? Means inside there no more chattering. Cannot. That's why you must have right view. You must have understanding. Then no need to chatter. Understand? Who is chattering? Yeah? The first tooling is what? Dependent origination. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. What is avijja? Ignorant. The main culprit is self-delusion. That's why with ignorant, self-delusion, sankhara arise. You think a lot. And who is thinking? The thought, the egoic mind. That's why that one cannot cease. That one is the one that is experiencing all the meditation. Doing the meditation. And that one is the thought, the egoic mind. And there is a center that you're supposed to see to awaken. That there is nobody inside there. And all this, wow, you have been deluded. That's why you'll get a shock of your life when you see that, when you insight into it. Then you realize, all this, wow, there was nobody inside there. That's why you will understand life differently. This form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to use to live life. Karmically conditioned out. For you to use, be connected to your nature. Then you understand. You will not worry about you getting old, getting sick and dying. Then you understand this is not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. The physical body is element, go the way of nature. Consciousness come and go with the three universal characteristics. That's why when feeling arise, feeling pass away, you didn't die. Consciousness arise and pass away, you didn't die. That's why they are not you. But if they are not you, why do they arise in you? How come feeling arise within you? Perception arise within you? Activity arise within you? Thought arise within you? If they are not you, then who are you? What are you? Remember? I used to share this with you during the early years. Because you are none of all this. Then who are you? What are you? Go and read the green book again. Remember the green book? Who are you? What are you? You read that one, you understand. By now you understand much, much more. Okay, read on.
And can the experiencer that self totally cease? Because only then is it possible for the mind to empty itself and for the new, the truth, the creative reality to come into being.
No, sadhu. This is so beautiful, isn't it? That's why Krishnamurti said, he asked the question, and can the experiencer, the meditator, the self, or the egoic mind, the me and the I, totally cease. Because if it does not cease, then it's impossible to awaken. Means the sakayadity, self-delusion, is still there. You are still holding on to the entity, the egoic mind, the personality. That is called the ego. So Krishnamurti said, because only then is it possible for the mind to empty itself. Understand? Empty itself of what? Of the I and the me and the atta and the delusion that believe this is you. That's why a lot of people thought, oh, they sotapan already. If you can live life with this understanding, then possibility you are. But if you cannot, every moment the I and the me is so strong inside you, the emotion is so real to you, this egoic mind is so strong and so real to you, you are far, far away from being a sotapan. So all this understanding is very important. Then Krishnamurti said, because only then is it possible for the mind to empty itself. Only when the mind is empty without anything, silent, still, then only the new, the truth, the creative reality can come into being. Then only it can experience the stillness, the silence, the unconditioned. Then only it can develop the true wisdom and understanding. That's why this quote is very beautiful. And the third one also reinforce it. Read on the third quote.
Is it possible for me to forget myself? To put it very simply, is it possible for me to forget myself? Don't say yes or no. We do not know what it means. The sacred book says so and so, but all that is mere words, and words are not reality. What is important is for the mind to find out whether that which has been put together, the experiencer, the thinker, the watcher, the I, can disappear, dissolve itself.
Okay, stop there. So this is the most important. This understanding is the most important. Is it possible for the experiencer, the me and the I, and the meditator to dissolve itself? That's why there is nobody inside there doing the meditation. That's why Krishnamurti say, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Meditation is silent, anasana, stillness, naturally aware, the true nature, the true mind, the awareness without center, spacious awareness, the oneness nature. Because that is the essence of mind, that is your true mind. That is the mind that has got no dwelling. Wherever there is a center, there is a dwelling. Whatever that the condition arising mind arise to perceive is a dwelling. When you perceive that table, that Buddha Rupang, your mind dwells there, anasana. When there is silence, without perception, without thought, without the aggregate of mind, the mind has got no dwelling. Because it doesn't dwell, it doesn't perceive anything, it doesn't hold on to anything, it's just aware. Essence of mind, that is your true mind. There is a true nature. And you have to experience that more and more, more and more, more and more. And you can do that because it's connected to this form of mind. That's why this form of mind is a very important tool for you to cultivate, to develop the understanding. Because without this form of mind, it cannot connect to that nature. You have to connect through that form of mind. It's only when the mundane mind ceases, then the true mind arises, surface, the unconditioned. That true nature, that nature which is the essence of mind, which is only aware, and that one manifests. That's why when that one manifests, shine forth. Actually, this one is eternally there, but you forgot about it because you are lost in thought, preoccupied with the creation by the thought, the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the phenomenal world is so real to you. You grasp and cling and hold. And preoccupied with that, and thinking that it's real. That's how samsara come about. It become what it is. So this part is very important. So I read to you the last part. The sacred book says so and so, but all this is mere words. And words are not reality. What is important is for the mind to find out whether that which is which has been put together. Put together by what? By the thought. Eh? The experiencer, which is the thought. The thinker, the watcher, the meditator, the I and the me can disappear or dissolve itself. There must be no other entity who dissolve it. That part is also very important. You read on.
I hope I'm making myself clear. If the mind says the I must be dissolved in order to arrive at that extraordinary state which the sacred books promise, then there is the action of will. There is an entity who wants to arrive, so the I still remains.
See? So subtle. Come in through the back door. Effort is what? A will. You make effort to meditate. No. Meditation cannot be done with effort. You can have virya to motivate you to meditate. But when you meditate, you cannot have effort. Your effort is exercise of a will. Who arise effort? The thought. The thought want to meditate. The thought want to put in effort to meditate. That's why this exercise of will creates the entity, the subtle ego. That's why it comes back through the back door. And this is how all meditators are caught. You cannot even say, I must forget myself. Or the ego must dissolve itself. That the entity that say that is the thought. Strengthen the ego. Strengthen the Sakaya Ditti. That's why you have to be completely silent, like Krishnamurti say. Choiceless awareness. That's why you all have this word. They tell you choiceless awareness. But you don't understand. Then without resistance, do not react, do not condemn, do not do anything. Just silent. Just aware, mindful. And you understand. So these three J Krishnamurti code, they are very, very meaningful, beautiful. So when you can develop the understanding of it, you will penetrate the Dhamma. And the whole teaching is the same. Even though the word appears so different. Yeah. That's why I send it out for sharing. And I bold it for you so that easy for you to understand. So that you can catch the important point, important meaning. Then today, because it's recorded, if you listen to it again, you will benefit a lot. Yeah? Then you try to reflect, contemplate, and stabilize the understanding. Because as you stabilize, it will be part of your wisdom. They call it the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. So when this understanding is there, you don't try to remember. Understand? After you reflect, contemplate, understand already, you try to write it down. If you can write it down, means you have stabilized the understanding. Then it has become part of you. Then next time when you meditate, any of the first turning, second turning, or third turning, all of a sudden it will connect. It will awaken. Because from that silence, you will understand. Yeah, when you reflect, contemplate, and when you can write it out, means you understand what this thing is, but you have not really penetrated it. So you need the third turning, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. The third turning can come anytime, sometimes through hearing or listening to the recording. Just like some of the Kayamita. Sometimes just you visit some spiritual places, you go for spiritual trip, then something happen, connect. Then suddenly you understand, you awaken. Then sometimes when you having your breakfast, or you alone, walking silently, reflect, contemplating, or out in the garden, or while driving, all of a sudden you can just awaken. The truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why when your mind is ready to receive truth, especially when you have reflected, contemplated, the first two turning, first turning and second turning wisdom, you have done sufficiently. Then you are ready. Means you already understood what is, and you have trained your mind, developed the mindfulness, the heedfulness. Then your mind is constantly aware, ever mindful. And then anytime it can just awaken. So this is what meditation is all about. don't try to know. When you meditate, cultivate until it is aware, until that mindfulness is very stable in the midst of life, until that sati is a part of you, your form and mind will know on. Then your mind state is very different. Like throughout the day, no thought on. You are just silent, ever mindful. You can still talk. You can still live life. But inside, nothing. Like when I share with you, here, nothing. Inside, nothing. It's just from the nature, it come out. Yeah. When there is condition, it will surface. Yeah. So this understanding is very important. Okay? So now, we stop. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So like I promised some of you, I think at the Wuping Jingse, there is this Diamond Sutta, chapter 6, I think, that stress the importance of faith. So you have these notes, the summary of the Diamond Sutta. You can turn to chapter 6. I read. If you don't have, never mind. You just listen. Chapter 6, Diamond Sutta. Subhati respectfully asked Sakyamuni Buddha, Lord Buddha, Most Honored One, in the future, if a person hears this teaching, even if it's only a phrase or a sentence, is it possible for that person to have true faith and knowledge of enlightenment awakened in their mind? Actually, the word should not be knowledge, understanding, wisdom. So this was the question Subhati asked the Buddha. Then Subhati answered, without a doubt, the Buddha answered, he said, without a doubt, Subhati, even 500 years after the enlightenment of the Buddha, there will be some who are virtuous and wise. 500 years. Hui Ning arise, what BC? AD already? Hui Ning? AD already. How many AD? Cannot remember. He said, according to the Buddha, even 500 years after his enlightenment, where he was born in 563 BC. Remember? Sakyamuni? Then, at the age of 35, means 536, is it? Or 563, I forgot it. Minus 35. 530 BC, I think. So 500 years later means AD, beginning of AD, around there. That's why Hui Ning, six patriarch arise. He said, without a doubt, Subhati, even 500 years after the enlightenment of this Buddha, there will be some who are virtuous and wise. And while cultivating, he used the word practicing, should be cultivating compassion and charity, will believe in the words and phrases of this Diamond Sutta and will awaken their mind fully. He used the word purely. After they come to hear this teaching, they will be inspired with faith. Actually not belief, with faith. This is because when some people hear this word, they will have understanding. He used the word intuitively. Actually, it's from the nature. That these words are the truth. That's why if it's the truth, like Hui Ning, the mind must have no dwelling. Diamond Sutta, one sentence. He came to great awakening. Then when the fifth patriarch talked to him about the condition arising mind and the true mind, then after that he just explained to him, able to use it and not be affected by it. That is true wisdom. And the moment he heard that, he came to great awakening, winning. Means that mind is for you to use, like I always share with you all. And not deluded by it, not affected by it. That is true wisdom, true understanding. That's why Heart Sutta, even Kuan Yin Bodhisattva mentioned, when you understand, when you penetrate through emptiness,
through emptiness is wonderful existence. Then life becomes very wonderful, very beautiful. Yeah. That's why when you penetrate through emptiness, when you truly awaken, you become very different. So in this way, it's the same. Huh? They will understand that these words are truth. Then he again explained to Subhati, because he don't want Subhati to have the wrong understanding. He thought, wow, this one must be very lucky. Suddenly, just listen, then with the faith, awaken. But the Buddha explained to him, but you must also remember, Subhati, that such person have long ago planted the seeds of goodness and merits that leads to this realization. So it's not only this life, understand? Then he said, they have planted the seeds of good deeds and charity, not simply before one Buddhist temple or two Buddhist temple or five Buddhist temple, but before hundreds of thousands of Buddhas and temple. Not only temple, no, Buddhas, Sammasambuddha and temple. Means they cultivate very long already. So when a person who hear the words and phrase of this sutta is ready for it to happen, a pure faith or sadha and clarity can awaken within their mind. So that's why Hui Ning and all these great beings, they already cultivate very long. That's why as a woodcutter, he literally heard, he awakened. Then you ask yourself, hey, how come now I heard so many of this teaching, I still know thing, nothing. But sometimes it thing already without you knowing. So be patient, persevere, have faith, have sincerity, persevere, it will happen. Because the condition is very, very appropriate. Then the Buddha told Subhati, any person who awakens faith, see, faith, sadha, upon hearing the words or phrase of this sutta, will accumulate countless blessings and merit. That's why you must have faith. I always tell you all, faith is very important. When you have faith in the teacher, have faith in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, in yourself, you have self-confidence. And when you have that faith, all of the Dhamma that you listen attentively will go in. And they will have meaning. And it will actually condition you to awaken. Yeah. I remember during the early day, when I can feel my teacher, when I can understand their words, I was full of gratitude, full of faith. Then I pay respect. Then I vow, life after life, to repay all this gratitude. Yeah. And I rejoice with the affinity and all things, because it's from the past and all things. Then I vow to carry on this work. Means in future, it is the turn of this form and mind to carry on. Yeah. Yeah, whatever it receives is what it gives. So if you continue to do this work, every life you come, that's why I came to know. This life, how come this form and mind, when it arises, it can understand truth so fast. It can receive all this teaching so fast. And my teacher didn't really spend time with me like I spend with you and teach like that. No, I hardly see them. Once a blue moon, only I see them. Then they only talk to me. There's no formal class and all those things, nothing. Yeah. How come can receive like that? Because this is the way this nature gave in the past. That's why when it come, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. Then it will receive, it will understand. But these are the inheritance. So just like this line, the way I give, this nature give, the Dhamma is very penetrative, very potent. And this is the way this nature give. That's why in future it come, it will also receive very fast. Yeah. So nature's law is very powerful. You must understand them. Then you must have faith. That's why faith is very important. That is the driving force. And if you can have faith, you will awaken very fast. Yeah. So determine strongly, deep within your heart. I remember during the early years, when I go and visit my teacher for all this spiritual trip and all those things, I determine deep inside my heart.
with a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect, faith, then I make vow, I make aspiration for causes and conditions to continue to receive this understanding so that life after life it can continue to evolve. You will receive the highest understanding at any one time when this nature arises. So all this will pave the way for causes and conditions to arise, for your nature to become more and more beautiful, for the cultivation to really take shape. Yeah. And all this can be done, not difficult. Okay? Oh, 10:30. Exactly 10:30. Okay, you got any question or not? Yeah? If you got any question, I can still answer one or two. Anybody want to ask anything? Yeah? Or share anything? All understood. No question. Okay, if that's the case, then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we can end. Joyce, Friday confirm. Yeah. What time? Relative. Oh, sorry, Friday. Oh, you teaching? He confirmed. Lunch time. 12:30. We make appointment. We meet there. She will come and fetch me. 12:30, meet at the restaurant. Then you bring along the computer. We test. This year, Kayamita gathering. 11 year. Sunday or Saturday? Sunday, 18. 18, lunch. Don't go there, dinner. Then everything is over. So we hope to have another year of good Kayamita-ship. Fellowship, because this is an annual affair. Actually, they want to celebrate my birthday, but I told them my birthday is not important, but if we can serve a greater purpose, why not? As a gathering of Kayamita for fellowship, for you all to actually meet up, then share your whatever experience. Then as Kayamita, you can also develop self-confidence. Then you help to motivate each other. Then you also can actually help to support each other. Then as Kayamita who walks the path of Dhamma, you can establish greater fellowship, rapport. Then through your sharing, you can develop better understanding and faith. And it is through this affinity that in future, when you continue to come back, all these are the affinity that you have with all these Kayamita. And all Kayamita have their path, have their cultivation. And some can be very, very unique and very special. Now you may not know. Later on, when you come to know, then you will understand. Then later on, maybe much, much later, when you come to understand all this, you have so much joy. Then all these are your affinity with all these Kayamitas, all these beings. Then when you have this understanding, you will come to know why causes and conditions can arise in the future for you to meet up with all these great beings. It's because of affinity, because of condition. Then all this great being that we do together through our Kayamita funds, through our puja, through our whatever retreat, sharing and everything, then your aspiration, your cultivation, all this will pave the way for you to receive great blessings and merits and great condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then in future, when you come, you will have all this ready for you. It will support you beautifully. And when you understand clearly and vow to have this understanding life after life, when you come, then you don't have to waste time. You don't have to suffer unnecessarily. Then every life can be very meaningful, very beautiful. Yeah. Just like this life, the form and mind that come so beautiful. I used to tell my wife, you may call it luck or what, but luck also cannot be so perfect. It's like you cannot believe what really happened. I used to say that even if allow you to plan, you can also never plan until like that. But the thing just fall into place. And it's impossible to have those conditions when it just arise and it just fall into place. All my teacher and guide, I don't know them. From all over the world, they just come. Yeah. So how you explain that? Yeah. There are a lot of things you plan also cannot be like that. That's why no planning is the best planning. But don't go and quote me and do without understanding. Yeah. No planning means you have understanding. You accord and flow. You don't plan to be rigid. Understand? No. You can have your plan. You can write it down and all those things. But don't be rigid. Because all these are what you intend to do. Understand? That's why for Kayamita spiritual trip also, I don't really have people who do all those planning like in a multinational company where they set up committee. No, you ask them. Even Kayamita Fund, I don't set up committee. Even all those retreat in camera, I don't set up committee. I just know who to appoint and help me to run. And there is no name, nothing. Even Pamasuri, relative, they have to do. They only help me to coordinate, even Joyce, they all. Then all this, it just fall into place because we know these are sincere Kayamita, even like Stephanie, Sui-An and all things, because of condition. Then they just manifest. Then all this will fall into place on its own. And they will come. That's why different people who can contribute towards different things, they will come. Then one more thing I want to let you understand is, last year we had the 10-year anniversary. So for those who are new, I will bring along the balance of CD. I still got quite a number. You can have it. Then after that, there is a continuation this year. Brother Tio and Pamasuri had done a very good one. 5 minutes only. Last year was 20 minutes. But this 5 minutes was so beautiful. It talked about walking the path of the Bodhisattva way. That song was very meaningful. Together. Itiao Sing. Those who know Mandarin, they know. With one mind. We persevere. That song was very good. It's like a Bodhisattva. Then it's towards the end, he said like, you will hold on to this Bodhisattva vow without retreating. Life after life. Sien Chu Fu Ti Sing. Very beautiful. She picked the song. Then this year one is simple, but the melody is more like modern music, more meaningful. So when they play that song, you're silent. Oh, then you listen. Very beautiful. Yesterday night they came and showed me. Then we went for dinner after that. It was very well done. I was also very surprised. Actually, within this 1 year, we have done so many things without me knowing until I saw the photos. All the photos. Brother Tio and Sister Pamasuri, mainly Brother Tio. All of these places that we have been to, he took all these photos. Then he know how to choose the appropriate one. Then almost everybody appear. So you will rejoice. Especially all Putosan one. All the 42 or one. At the hotel there, that one also went in. Then in between, a lot of our photo also came out. Then Sumeru also. Then all the books that we print. Within that 1 year, we printed 8 books. Never before. And this thing just come by itself. That's why I say everything just fall into place. Meant to be. Then the Rupang, everything come. And Sui-An on the house Rupang, you may think it's very, very long ago. It's just 1 year plus 1 month. It was September, 20th September. So now it's only October. Less than 1 month. Then this one only a few months. It just come by itself. There's no intention, no request, nothing. Things just happen. So this is something that you will start to understand as you cultivate. So once again, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So a lot of things that is meant to be, will be. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then we can end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva jirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to all departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration now. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Yeah.